Let's read together then, 1 Kings chapter 21, verses 1 through 16. In these verses, we have the story of King Ahab and his sins in connection with Naboth's vineyard. 1 Kings chapter 21, beginning at verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, next to the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. So Ahab spoke to Naboth, saying, "Give me your vineyard, that I may have it for a vegetable garden, because it is near, next to my house. And for it I will give you a vineyard better than it. Or if it seems good to you, I will give you its worth in money." And Naboth said to Ahab, "The Lord forbid that I should give the inheritance of my fathers to you." So Ahab went into his house sullen and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, "I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers." And he lay down on his bed and turned away his face and would eat no food. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said to him, "Why is your spirit so sullen that you eat no food?" So he said to her, "Because I spoke to Naboth the Jezreelite and said to him, 'Give me your vineyard for money, or else, if it pleases you, I will give you another vineyard for it.' And he answered, 'I will not give you my vineyard.' Then Jezebel, his wife, said to him, 'You now exercise authority over Israel. Arise and eat food, and let your heart be cheerful. I will give you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite.' So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal and sent the letters to the elders and the nobles who were dwelling in the city with Naboth. And she wrote in the letters, saying, 'Proclaim a fast and seat Naboth with high honor among the people. And seat two men, scoundrels, before him to bear witness against him, saying, "You have blasphemed God and the king." Then take him out and stone him that he may die." So the men of the city, the elders and nobles, who were inhabitants of his city, did as Jezebel had sent to them, as it was written in the letters which she had sent to them. They proclaimed a fast and seated Naboth with high honor among the people. And two men, scoundrels, came in and sat before him, and the scoundrels witnessed against him, against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, "Naboth has blasphemed God and the king." Then they took him outside the city and stoned him with stones so that he died. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, "Naboth has been stoned and is dead." And it came to pass, when Jezebel heard that Naboth had been stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, "Arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give you for money, for Naboth is not alive, but dead." So it was, when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab got up and went down to take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. All right, first of all, some background notes to help us understand the setting of this event in Elijah's life. We see that wicked King Ahab of the northern kingdom of Israel had a number of opportunities to repent and turn the kingdom back to the Lord, but he didn't do it. He continued on in his wicked ways, in his own personal life, as well as his life as king over the northern kingdom of Israel. And now here in chapter 21, we see that in his later years, we have another event in which the evil of King Ahab and Queen Jezebel is exhibited. Ahab wanted to expand the royal properties at Jezreel. Now, Jezreel was the location of the winter palace of the northern kingdom of Israel, kind of like our Camp David. But the property that Ahab wanted to buy was not for sale. Naboth, the owner, would not sell no matter what price Ahab offered him. Ahab offered another choice piece of land if he wanted it. Ahab offered him money. Naboth said, "No deal." Look at verse 3 once again. And Naboth said to Ahab, "The Lord forbid that I should give the inheritance of my fathers to you." Now, the reason Naboth would not sell is that under the law, the land was to remain in the family and never sold outside the tribe. Let me read to you Numbers 36 and verse 9. This is what the law said, the Mosaic law. "Thus no inheritance shall change hands from one tribe to another, but every tribe of the children of Israel shall keep his own inheritance." So you see, Naboth was not holding out for a higher price or something like that. He was a godly Hebrew, and he would not sell or exchange for any price. Naboth would have been one of the godly in the northern kingdom of Israel that had not yet bowed the knee to Baal. But Ahab, wicked King Ahab, could care less for Naboth's godly attitude. He went back to the palace and sulked as he often did. And Queen Jezebel comes in, verse 5, and says, "What's wrong with you? How come you're not eating?" And Ahab says there, verse 6, "Naboth won't sell me his vineyard. I want his vineyard and he won't give it to me." We'd never do anything like that, would we? We never sulk like that. Well, Jezebel says at this point, "Well, what's the matter with you? You're king. Why don't you take it? Here, I'll get it for you." So Queen Jezebel arranged to have Naboth removed. She sent out a royal proclamation under Ahab's seal that there was to be a religious fast there in Jezreel. Probably the idea here is that there's coming some kind of disaster. There's an impending disaster. We got to find out who's responsible for this. She also arranged for Naboth to be seated with high honor among the people at this gathering. So it would look like it's a fair trial. No one would suspect a setup. Then she had two willing accomplices trump up some charges and accused Naboth of blasphemy and treason. What hypocrisy. Think of it. Jezebel, the Baal worshiper, using God's law, which she knew required two witnesses. Notice she has two false accusers here. And she knew the death penalty for blasphemy of God was death. She arranges all this. What an evil and satanic frame-up of godly Naboth. And after Naboth was stoned, Ahab went down to take possession of the vineyard. And that brings us then to the doctrinal points. What is God teaching us here? Doctrinal point number one, God allows innocent people to suffer. God allows innocent people to suffer. Poor Naboth, what did he do to deserve such treatment? He was doing the right thing. He was obeying God. And yet he was set up and framed and stoned to death. How come? What's the Bible teaching us here anyway? God allows innocent people to suffer. We know that the Bible teaches that sometimes people suffer because of their own fault. We also know that the Bible teaches that sometimes people suffer because God is using the suffering for discipline. But here we see another truth taught in the Bible. Sometimes God allows innocent people to suffer for nothing they've done wrong. God allows this. We don't always know why. Sometimes we see the good that comes out of suffering, but not always. Now, maybe you're here this morning and you're suffering in some way. Maybe someone has framed you. Maybe someone has hurt you in some way. And you're innocent. You haven't done anything wrong. You love the Lord and are seeking to follow Him. Why has God let this happen to you? We don't know. Be faithful like Naboth was. You definitely will be rewarded in heaven if you're a faithful believer. Matthew 5 and verse 10, we read there, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And then in verse 12, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven." We don't know all the reasons why God allows suffering at times, but we do know there's reward to follow. We don't know all the reasons, but we do know that God at times allows innocent people to suffer. Doctrinal point number two, the pleasures of sin are only for a season. The pleasures of sin are only for a season. Now, that's just about a direct quote from Hebrews 11:25. The pleasures of sin are only for a season. After Naboth's death, Ahab went down to enjoy himself on his new property. "Oh, this is so great. I have this vineyard now. Let's see, I think I'll plant the barley over here. I think I'll plant the wheat over here. This garden is going to be so great." How long do you think Ahab enjoyed his new vineyard? Not long. In fact, only one verse long. Because as we move on, we see that God brings Elijah to confront Ahab. You know, it's possible that you might be involved in some sin right now, maybe some secret sin, and you don't want to give that sin up. because it's fun. There's pleasure. We're not going to name all these kinds of sins. But is the Spirit of God working on your conscience right now that there's something in your life? There's some sin where you're enjoying it. Maybe it's even bad-mouthing a brother or sister in the Lord, but you're enjoying it because you're coming to the top and they're being put down. You've been jealous of them. All kinds of secret sins that you might be enjoying. Well, this portion of God's Word certainly teaches us that the pleasures of sin are only for a season. You can be sure that the fun and pleasure, whatever it may be, will soon end, because the Bible teaches that the pleasures of sin are only for a season. All right, now what about practical application, or further practical application, shall we say? Practical application number one. How much money would it take to get you to compromise? How much money would it take to get you to compromise? Think of how much money Naboth could have made off his vineyard. I mean, King Ahab was willing to pay big bucks here. He's the king. He wanted that property. He would have given anything. Exchange it for a great piece of land. What's your price, Naboth? Just name it. But Naboth would not sell because it was wrong. It would have been wrong before God for Naboth to sell. How much money would it take to get you to compromise? Suppose somebody wanted you to cheat or compromise standards in some way on your job. What would your reaction be? Hey, not me. No way. I'm not going to compromise. Yeah, but suppose they offered you $1,000 just to compromise a little bit, cheat a little bit. Hey, what do you think I am? Forget it. What about $10 million? And no one would know. How much money would it take to get you to compromise? Do we have a price? I hope not. Let's be like Naboth. But that question is convicting, isn't it? How much money would it take to get us to compromise? Let's hope no amount of money. How much money would it take you to compromise? Practical application number two. Are you a wife like Jezebel? Are you a wife like Jezebel? I see a number of wives here this morning, older wives and younger wives. Are you a wife like Jezebel? You say, certainly not. I'm a Christian. Jezebel was a Baal worshiper. Okay, but as Jezebel had a lot of influence on her husband, King Ahab, so you have a lot of influence on your husband. That is, you can influence him to move in a positive direction, or stay neutral, or even in a negative direction. Think of what Jezebel could have said. Ahab, we don't need Naboth's vineyard. We have plenty of property. We can plant the garden somewhere else. But no, she told him he should be ashamed of himself as a king for not annexing the property illegally. Are you a wife like Jezebel? Maybe you don't influence your husband to do wrong. But do you influence him to move in a positive direction, to move more toward God, to become more a man of God? Are you a wife like Jezebel?